everybody. This is Julian Joyella with you, with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Here in the studio with me, Ben Starr, hosting, and also...
Yeah, we're joined by a longtime friend of Armand, Celeste Varela here. She's been a friend and a listener of The Positive Mind for 30 years or so, came in as a listener, and also became a client of Armand's, and wanted to invite Celeste here today to join us as we continue to share stories and memories and anecdotes about the man that Armand was. Hi, Celeste. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Ben, for allowing me to participate today's show.
You're most welcome. Yeah, it's
absolutely
great to have you.
I mean, I can say that I've been amazed with the kindness and the selflessness of the listeners of The Positive Mind in the past week. It's been incredible, the amount of love coming from everyone. And in letters, we've been receiving cards, packages, cookies, all kinds of things. And it hasn't only been in mourning, but also in celebration. To Braka Bomzi, hopefully I'm saying your name right. Thank you for the book and the card. It was really kind, and I feel like I'm part of a huge community of people that is really there with us, looking to bring this legacy forward.
Yeah, Julian, the outpouring of love and support that you, the listeners, have given us has really been appreciated. I want to thank real quick Marisa Gonzalez, who sent me a very lovely card. I wish you had included your return address so I could write you back. But Marisa, if you're listening out there, thanks again for the card. And yeah, you know, Julian, we had a lot of listeners come out to the center last Tuesday and Wednesday after the show. And I was really struck by the turnout and just how genuine everyone was, and the level of just passion and interest and care that everyone brought to our meetings. And I think it's going to be continuing this week, right?
Right. Actually, here at the DeMille Center, 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1100, at 6:30 p.m. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the days of the radio show, the community here at the DeMille Center will be welcoming everyone in the public, the listeners, people who loved Armand DeMille, people who wanted to maybe meet others in his life, just speak about it, be part of it. You don't have to speak. You can just join in. There'll be these workshops that he asked for. He wanted to continue on once he had passed.
Yeah, and again, all are welcome. If you never met Armand or never been to the center, you're still very welcome to come out and be a part of what's going on, which is an amazing gathering and coming together of people who were touched by Armand and were touched by The Positive Mind. And we're creating that space here for everyone to really share stories and their experiences around that. Celeste, you were here last week, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Well, how did you feel about the gathering of listeners and friends here at the center?
It was a wonderful experience to be here and share those two evenings here at the DeMille Center. Very powerful. Many people came in with their wonderful stories, and some, although they didn't meet them personally, they felt a great connection to the essence of this man who was a giant on this radio station.
Yeah, and I mean, on this idea and this topic, which is so relevant of grieving, I was talking to Ben earlier about all this, and it's interesting. I mean, I know Armand always wanted us to feel everything, whether it was love, loss, anger. We know his mantra of our feelings: mad, sad, bad, glad, or scared. You know, and what are these feelings? Can we identify them? And I wanted to just talk about a little bit about a personal experience I had when he was in the hospital. He on the Friday before Monday, when he passed away, he had decided, so to speak, he kind of had a plan all along that he was to pass away, whether it be that day or soon after. And most of his close friends and family were there, and this was at the hospital up at Lenox Hill. And he called for me, and I arrived there seeing him on the bed, and he couldn't speak because he had this oxygen machine running. And I was overcome with fear over losing him. And I didn't know what to do. And I arriving there, I said, well, what now? I mean, now that he's decided that he's going to pass, what happens? And I as a 22-year-old young man, I had never experienced death quite to this level. The death of a close friend, a mentor, a confidant. And I watched as his son, his closest friends, came over and held his hand and said, you know, what we would call last words or something like this. And I thought, well, in movies they always do this, so maybe I should do that too. And I walked over, I waited my turn, and grabbed his hand and looked him in the eye, and I had no words. And I mean, for anybody who's met Armand, those eyes are very honest. And it wasn't that the words weren't there. They were in our hearts. But I stayed there, and I just felt an immense amount of emotion coming out. If we were going to say mad, bad, sad, glad, or scared, I felt both scared and sad and mad and bad all at once. And I started sobbing and panicking and shaking and, you know, crying. And really, it was quite scary. I've never really felt something like that personally in my 22 years of life. And a nurse ran over and, you know, got me some tissues and an alcohol swab to sniff to bring me out of it. And Armand scrambled to write down, because he couldn't speak, but write down the words, "Let him cry." And this to me meant so much, because Armand was all about allowing people to, and facilitating people to allow them to experience everything. And I knew that he valued my experience of what I was having at that moment, and knew that he didn't want me to rush through that, rush through the this experience that I was having, this mad, bad, sad, scared experience. And it was all about those three words, "Let him cry." And that really resonated for me. And I think it tells a lot about how he might want all of us to continue forward with this grieving process. Really allow yourself to feel everything, because it was so important to do that in that moment. And I know right after that he pointed to his son and me, and he said, you know, he didn't say anything, but he said with his eyes and with his hands, for us to hold each other and just feel each other and to let whatever needed to happen in each other's arms happen. And it did. And I'm so thankful to him for allowing that to happen and for stopping everyone from trying to comfort me and get me out of that situation and save me from my feelings, and instead allowing me to experience them. And I really, really thank him for that.
You know, Julian, I love that story, and hearing you tell it earlier really connected the dots for me, because I was in the hospital visiting Armand later that day, and I saw the yellow legal pad. And I saw in his handwriting, I saw the words, "Let him cry." And when I saw that, I thought to myself, that is such an Armand thing to say.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, Armand wanted everyone to have the right to have their feelings expressed, regardless of how difficult or unpleasant those feelings might have been. And I really like that story. I think it's really a testament to the kind of man he was.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I just wanted to share. Yeah, I'm sure anybody who knows him or has listened to him, this really, I think, resonates true to Armand. Very, very Armand. we have a short clip to bring you from a program from 4 or 5 years ago, from a program called Positive Grieving with Armand, where he just speaks about his experience grieving for his best friend, and about grieving and we thought we'd bring it to you. And so here we go.
Grief itself. You know, we all have death in our lives. The younger you are, the less there is. I asked Lauren Sykes, who is my assistant here at the station, when we put things together, how many people does she know who died? Lauren, what was your response? Do you remember?
Yeah, basically, you know, no one that I see on a daily basis has passed yet. The closest person that has gone on is my grandmother, and she lived, you know, states away. So I would probably see her maybe, you know, once to twice a year. So I can't even imagine, you know, losing someone, you know, that's primarily in my life.
Well, that's kind of an interesting thing. How old are you, Lauren?
I'm 23.
23 years old. I can't imagine someone dying. I can't imagine it. Now, the rest of you who are not 23, you can imagine because you've all gone through it in one form or another. And some of you have gone through it personally, and some of you have been with people who have gone through it. So dealing with it, believe it or not, is a skill. A while back, someone discovered these five stages. Let me see, Lauren, what are the five stages of grieving?
So the first stage would be denial and isolation. The second would be anger. The third is bargaining. Fourth is depression. And the last stage is acceptance.
This was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's work. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said, you know, there are five stages to go through, and if you don't go through all five, you're going to suffer. Now, you're going to suffer means prolonged grief. And that's what we want to avoid. Why do we want to avoid prolonged grief? Because, my friends, you cannot afford to have prolonged grief. Because if you're grieving, you probably loved someone. And if you loved someone, then that means you have the capacity to love. And if you have the capacity to love, I need you on my team. We there's not very many of us out here. Now, those of you who could have somebody die and not feel anything, I don't need you on my team. I need the ones on the team who do feel things. So maybe you're going through a prolonged grief and don't even know it. So let's step into this a little bit and find out what we do and what we could do that may be helpful to you, that may help you get through this a little bit. Nobody understands the anger that goes along with death. You know, if someone dies, one of the worst things that happen is we begin to feel angry. And we feel angry, and it doesn't make any sense. Here, your mother dies, right? How could you get angry at your mother? What are you going to say? Why didn't you take better care of yourself? But what happens to the inner child, the child inside us, is that we say to ourselves, how could you leave me? And you get angry at the person for leaving you. Now, that doesn't, of course, make sense, and you couldn't say it to anybody. What Kubler-Ross learned is that that was the magic, that if you could touch that anger, the person gets relieved. But if they can't touch it, if they glorify their parent, if they say she was a saint, if they say, I mean, that's a likely thing to do, and that's the way most people would feel, but they say, find the resentment, find the anger. The majority of people I know who do not find that anger, do you know what they do? They get divorces. They turn the anger against their spouse. And suddenly, and I knew one man whose mother died and he got divorced 2 days later. 2 days later, he says, I want out of this marriage. You couldn't talk him into it. Because the anger that he felt was so unallowed, not allowed, that he had to take it somewhere else. We're talking about a heavy subject here, grief. The idea of it is that I want you not to be grieving a complicated grief. I want to introduce words into our language like death. Instead of passed on, left, what are the words do they use? What are the words we use to moved on? Ceased, yeah. Made a transition. You know, and died. My friend Richie died. My friend Richie was my closest friend. And he died of leukemia suddenly. It made no sense that Richie, the health nut, Richie, the guy who worked out every day, Richie, the guy who wouldn't touch a piece of meat, got leukemia and died. Made no sense to me whatsoever. I got so angry at Richard. So angry at him for being healthy and leaving. And leaving me as his best friend. That it saved me. I had another time when I had two people die simultaneously. One best friend and my mother. And I remember I was smart enough to grieve my mother. But I was grieving her and I was letting myself cry. I was feeling sad. In fact, I was at her casket and I was crying. I was young. And my uncle came along and he said, "Now, Armand, you're going to have to take care of everybody." And I turned over and looked at him and I said, "You take care of everybody. I'm crying. This is your sister. Shouldn't you be crying too?" But then following that, a week later, my other best friend died in an accident. And everybody came to me and said, "You know, we have to make arrangements." And I said, "I'm sorry. I can't do it." He had called this priest, tell him to just repeat what I just did for my mother. And they just had a repeat performance. But going through it with people is rough. As people get older, they go through it with more and more people. Then there comes this issue of facing your own death. Of facing it and looking at it and saying, okay, here it comes. There was a man I knew who was living next door to me. He was dying, and nobody talked to him about his death. Nobody talked to him. So I went over, and he was a good friend. And I went over to his house, and everybody was talking about, you're going to get better. But you looked at him, and he was on his way out. And I said to him, "Richard, how do you feel about dying?" And he was aghast. I should say such a thing. I said, "I think you're dying, Richie. Is there anything you feel about it? Is there anything you want to know? Is there anything you want me to take care of?" This was a different Richard. Two Richards died, both good friends. Never name anybody Richard. No, it was just those two. Anyway, Richard turned to me, and he talked to me about it. Then his son, who heard what I said, got so angry at me. "How could you talk to Dad about his dying?" But later, Dad said it was the biggest relief to have been able to speak about it. Speaking about death, your own death, is fabulous. You know, when everybody tells you not to mention it, that's a good thing. But when people have someone who dies, and they have people like who they could deal with to get help, that's amazing.
Armand DeMille discussing death and mourning. Ben Starr and Julian Joiello with you here on The Positive Mind. We want to just address some minor technical difficulties we've had. If your signal has been cutting in and out, please bear with us. We are doing our best to make sure everything is
Yeah, we'll
in
figure
order.
Out that as soon as possible. Thank you for letting us know. Seems to be when we're playing that clipped back to you guys that was happening. But stick with us till 2 p.m. today. We'll be continuing programming Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. as always here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
And we will be taking some of your calls later on today, right after the break. But before we do that, I want to ask you, the audience, some questions. From time to time, Armand did like to sort of poll his listeners about the program and what they liked, what they wanted to hear more of, what they might want to hear less of. So I want to ask our listeners who are going to call in today how you hope this show continues, because Julian and I are determined to continue this show in a way that honors Armand's legacy and preserves it and also continues to keep The Positive Mind fresh and innovative. So WBAI has graciously allowed us to continue the show for now, and we're very thankful for this opportunity to really do right by Armand, because as we were talking about Armand's final days in the hospital, one of the wishes that he expressed to Julian and I was that he wanted us to continue the program and to continue it in the vein of what we did. So I want to know from the listeners, would you like to hear more topics? Would you like to hear more guests? Would you like us to take more phone calls? What is it about the show that you would like more of or less of, and how would you like to see this legacy continue? We are determined, as I said, to keep the show going as true to Armand's vision as possible. And what I discussed with Julian was, I think we can, with the vast archives that we have of Armand's content and work on the air, we can introduce topics here and discuss them either between Julian and I, or with maybe with guests that we bring on, and have callers express their feelings on a topic, and we can always have a clip with Armand's take on that topic, and by doing so, we'd like to keep him involved in the show, but we also want to continue to keep the show fresh and new. So I'd love our listeners to let us know what they think about that. Our number here is 212-757-5555. We'll be taking your calls shortly after 1:30, so you can give us a call. Again, that's 212-757-5555.
Yeah, and I actually, talking about the listeners right now, I got a fantastic email, and we really appreciate your emails. We've been receiving at positivemind@wbai.org is our email. positivemind@wbai.org is our new email. And we're reading all your letters. And one I got from Laura was, "Dearest hosts and fellow listeners of The Positive Mind, Armand has played an essential role in my life for several years. In 2011, I came across The Positive Mind after searching iTunes for a podcast that could promote positive thinking in my life, and I cannot imagine my good fortune. As someone on the opposite coast, I very quickly grew fond of this East Coast podcast, downloading every episode as they were released. Since 2009, I had been taking medications and seeing a professional after the sudden passing of a loved one. Despite treatment, I still felt my mind collapsing into a desperate state, pulling away from not only myself but the world around me. Listening to Armand, my heart began to soften and open to the possibilities of what I can be in this life and how I react to difficult situations. Very recently, I relocated across the country and was highly anxious about my new surroundings. I could not have listened to a more relevant podcast that soothed my emotional turmoil that I was experiencing. The show was When You Can't Say No, and it was a pivotal moment at this crossroads in my life. For one, after the spontaneous breakout by the show's hosts of I Can Be Mean, set to Beethoven's Fifth, I lost all emotional baggage I was holding and had a very satisfying laugh-out-loud moment without a care of anyone in the vicinity. Secondly, the show gave me strength to feel confident in my new surroundings, knowing I have the ability to stand up for myself no matter the situation. I never met Armand, but I felt he knew me, and I am deeply saddened by his passing. I never got around to calling in, writing him my gratitude, or visiting him in the center, although it was always in the back of my mind as something I wanted to or was going to do. Since this is no longer a possibility, I want to offer my unconditional, vast appreciation to his fellow hosts, Julian, Ben, Linda, and countless others who called in, were guests, and other co-hosts with this one-of-a-kind teacher, counselor, and friend. You have all of my love and sympathy in this time. I have no doubt Armand's legacy will continue in you and everyone who had the opportunity to be affected by this profound man. A very grateful, positive mind, Laura." And that was just a letter by Laura sent to us. And I really think it encapsulates a lot of the feelings that we've been receiving from our listeners. A personal take, but also at the same time, we've received a lot of this is the sort of path that a lot of listeners have experienced with their relationship to Armand, even if they never did meet him in person. And I think it's really, really interesting to see that.
Yeah, thank you for that letter, Laura. I also have a note from someone who did know Armand, someone who actually worked for Armand here at the center, who met him back in 2009. This is from Cynthia in New York City. She says, "A great mentor is someone who sees the true potential in you and gives you the opportunity to tap into that potential by believing in you. A great mentor shows you where you are strong and supports you in gaining strength where you are weak. I've heard it said that Armand was a mind reader, only I think it was more that he knew what was in your heart. Armand taught me how to be brave, how to tell the truth, my truth. He taught me how to trust and believe. Working for Armand gave me the confidence to seek what my true mission in life was. I always felt respected and loved by him. I am so inspired by the life that Armand lived, and I know that through his listeners, family, and friends, and WBAI, Armand's life will continue to be a contribution and source of encouragement for others." Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, we've got an outpouring of letters and messages, and I want to just keep encouraging you to call in at 212-757-5555. We'll get to your calls after the break in a few minutes. Celeste, did you want to relate an anecdote, a story about Arman?
Absolutely. Thank you. I remember a long time ago, wow, probably close to 25 years ago, I came in and I brought my stuff to Arman and I needed help. And he graciously sat with me and we discussed my stuff. And it came to a point at this time, he was not doing just one sessions. He was taking in his clients and seeing them on a weekly basis or however he thought it would work. And I came to him one day and I said to him, Arman, my circumstances have changed. I won't be able to do my work with you. And, you know, I felt bad. But he knew that I was honest and forthright. And he said to me, well, what I want you to do is when you need a hug, you come into the office, okay? Come in for that hug. Just make sure you make a phone call. Make sure I'm available, you know. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, what a beautiful thing to say to me. Like, no one has ever made such an extended themselves to that and said, if you need a hug, come on in. I'll give you a hug. And I did. I would call the office. Delmer at the time was his secretary, and she already knew. And I would come in right before his show normally and get a big teddy bear, big cushiony, warm, just a divine hug. He was just a divine human being, and he did that for so long. And that's the one thing out of all the work that I've done for myself with him and Aura that he gave me those wonderful endearing hugs.
Yeah, he really actually, I feel like he taught that value of touch.
Yes.
The value of maybe perhaps not trying to speak and talk people out of a dark place, but perhaps just give them and show them that you are there for them through a hug or a holding of their hand and showing them the value of you know, being there for them physically. Even and I think that's really beautiful the way that works, and that was definitely one of the biggest things for me too, which
was the hugs, right? Those hugs were incredible. They were so divine. I can't even tell you. I still feel them. Thank you, Arman.
and even for those who've never come in and had a hug with Arman, I'm sure they've felt his voice fill a room in that kind of way. So we're coming to the half of the hour. Thanks for listening and dealing with our technical difficulties today. We appreciate it. We should not be having that for the rest of the program. So hang in here at The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We're going to be playing a little bit of music, of course, from Arman's playlists. And stay tuned. And we'll be taking calls at 212-757-5555. This is Julian Joiello, and we're here with Ben Starr and Celeste. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Vendaporo by Bonga. You're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Gioiello.
Hey there.
As we continue to remember Armand DeMille, just want to get rid of, get some housekeeping out of the way, some important announcements that we need to make. First of all, we want to just remind our listeners that there will be a continuation of the group gatherings that were happening here at the DeMille Center last week. That will continue this evening here at the DeMille Center at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1100 on the 11th floor. That starts at 6 p.m. It's 57th Street off of 6th Avenue. You can take the F here and plenty of other trains that come nearby.
The NR, Q trains, E train.
Yeah, the A train, yeah, you could walk here from Columbus Circle, but it's 57th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues.
Yeah, and this is just a beautiful way to join in this community, which is, I mean, I have to say, one of the more positive things that have come along after all of this has been this center has grown in love. I mean, there's so many people and listeners and beautiful just people walking around the hallways here at the DeMille Center, just contributing in any way they can. And we would love to have you here also. So again, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, same days as our radio program, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the DeMille Center.
And speaking of contributing, WBAI runs off of donations from listeners like you. And that's how we're able to bring you programming like The Positive Mind and many other fantastic programs, both news, health, and even music-oriented. So we're asking our listeners out there, if you could, to become a BAI buddy today. You can support the station by going to WBAI.org and clicking the BAI buddy icon. It's on the top right of the screen, and making a recurring donation to the station in order to help support our move to Brooklyn. So that is WBAI.org. Help us continue the great work that
right.
everyone here at WBAI does.
And this is just a quick, easy way to make a recurring donation to the station. You know, you put your credit card number in and you become a member of this community. And WBAI is supported entirely by donation. There's, you know, no commercials outside sponsorships by Dunkin' Donuts or like anything like that.
There's
you know?
Not even corporate underwriting, which
right.
most public radio stations do take nowadays. There is not you know, not a dime of corporate money that goes into BAI. And that's one thing, one of the many things that, that continues to make this station so special. So again, if you could help us out, go to WBAI.org and become a BAI buddy today.
All right. So moving on, we've got Mario on the line. Mario, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, Mario. Thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Sorry to hear his passing.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How did you like that that music? Have you heard that before on the program?
No, but that was Armand. I mean, I have somewhere recorded on cassette someplace from years back. Like, oh, this sounds like a good tune, and I'd put it in and I'd record it. Some of the music.
Yeah, I remember he used to tell me that he said, you know, I don't totally understand what he's saying, but I hear the pain in his voice, and I hear, I feel this man singing, and I remember how much this resonated with him, and I wanted to play that for everyone today.
Well, that was great. I mean, the choice of his theme music, too, his intro, that brings me back to, because I grew up in East Harlem. It was a big Italian community at one time. Now it's Spanish Harlem. So to be exact, it was 116th Street. All the way to Pleasant Avenue, up to about 30th Avenue. And so when I used to hear that music, we've since moved out of that neighborhood, but it was kind of very urban, very like brownstone, walk up. To me, that was the feel I would get. It was very like, stickball music. I don't know, that's where it brought me to playing stickball and going under the hydrant. And so I was drawn to the program, and I would, you know, tune in throughout the years. I've been listening since, I think, 83, 84.
Mario, you're talking about the intro, right? That's what sounds like urban music to you?
Yeah,
that's actually, it's called Another Country. It's by a group called Shadowfax, for those who are interested.
Yeah, it just brings me to, like, inner city. That's the feel I get, kind of like walking around on a summer day and people are doing all kinds of things. I mean, I never made the choice and to meet Armand personally.
Sure.
But, of course, listening to him on the radio, I think, is a credit to the energy that used to come across and the care for the listener. And
Yeah, is there maybe one way that the positive mind has really affected your life?
Just being on the air and having that on radio, it taught me things. It brought up my awareness. It made me aware of things. It basically taught me. It wasn't until many, many years ago, like maybe 8 years ago, that I started seeing a therapist. But prior to that, I mean, it made me aware of this. Like, oh, look, this is what this is about. This is a very smart way of looking into problems. And, oh, look at how he's figuring that out for that person. And I relate to this or that. And, I mean, it was just perfect. It was...
Mario, real quick, if I could ask you, how do you think we can best continue Armand's legacy? Would you like to hear us continue to bring topics and keep having guests, or would you like us to lean more towards taking calls? Or
I'm glad you asked. I think the way you broke it down before, where Armand's the best commenter you can have replay, you know, have him, you know, bring his voice back on and take calls, I think, I want to say, I think you guys are perfect. The way the show and the way he taught you guys, I'm pretty sure he taught you guys well. I wouldn't change a thing. Just bring in his, you know, kind of creatively get his voice in and take calls. That was the show, you know. And
well, that's the plan, Mario.
You guys obviously have, you know, he's taught you. You're the therapist yourself, I guess.
No, Julian and I are not therapists. We're more we're more radio guys, but I do appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, but listen, I wouldn't touch it. Leave it alone. I'm a chef. You don't, when you put good intention in, and then the show time is ready to go, and you hit the switch, and you're on the air, and you put the love and intention in it, you don't touch it. It's like putting too much salt, too much this. Just the way you guys are doing it, I want to end, and you guys are perfect. Just do it the way you described it, and take the calls. And lots of love to you guys, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mario.
Thanks, Mario. That's the best thing we could hear. Thank you.
We're taking your calls here at 212-757-5555. Give us a call. Let us know what you think the best way for us to continue the legacy of the Positive Mind would be. And I want to remind our listeners that every program is available on thepositivemind.com. There's a large archive of programs going back many years. So you are welcome to come online and download those for free. You can also go on iTunes. For those of you who have iTunes, if you go to the iTunes store and you search The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, it's available as a free podcast. So essentially, you click on subscribe, and every time there's a new episode, it'll automatically download onto your computer for free. And then, you know, you can listen anytime. You don't have to be necessarily by the radio if you're busy, if you got stuff going on. I know when I first started listening to the show and then I discovered the archive, I listened almost every day because I felt like I had so much to catch up on. I mean, have you had that experience?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's free. It's available to everyone. That's what Armand wanted to give back to the world, his knowledge and experience. And he offered that unconditionally, and it's available to all of us forever, which is something that, you know, it's amazing.
Definitely. Let's take another call. Fran, you're on the line.
Hi. First of all, I just have to thank you again so much for doing such a wonderful job, and you would think that you both were therapists the way you're running the show.
Well, we were part of a short series of workshops that Armand had started, but we are not therapists.
Yeah, no, I know, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're giving that, you know, type of way about you, but you're doing such a fantastic job. So I wanted to say, however the people who are listening or are followers of the show, if you could come up maybe with something where we can all sign something or all... how to, you know, I don't know how to petition it. I don't know what the word is. I'm a BA member, but, you know, like, what it is that we could do to possibly keep it going if, first of all, if you guys could do it, you know, and, you know, that would be great, you know, so, and the second, third, also, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but I wonder, was that Armand, you think, giving us the energy before when the radio went out? Because, you know, sometimes it happens, but it didn't happen like that, I don't recall, on the Positive Mind before.
He might have grabbed a couple audio waves out of us.
I'm kind of like, was kind of leaning in that direction. I can't prove it at all, of course. But, you know, I was kind of thinking that was him, his energy.
Yeah.
And as far as the show, I mean, you know, living in the moment, that kind of stuff, dealing with things like you're asking what, you know, what you could present guests. He would have like Judith Orloff on.
Right, Judy.
You know, maybe like Sharon Salzberg, meditation teachers, all kinds, Ethan Nickturn, all these people that, you know, could maybe guests, and also the music, like Armand's music. And
I'm holding on to his music for dear life because I personally love it, and he's got such a fantastic selection. So we'll be playing continually most of the music from his library of just really incredible stuff from all over the world. And I think he has a lot of stuff that really nobody has. I mean, I remember we even did a fun drive at one point called the Jazz Salute to Freedom, and there was this two CD set of just jazz specials with like all these jazz greats. And we can play you guys some of that in the future.
That would be
fantastic. Jazz specials.
I love that. I don't want to thank you. And I wanted to, I guess, say the tools the radio station, how to go about having our tools in everyday living would be great. And I hope that you folks can still run this somehow run the radio show, and I am very grateful to you so much, and I don't know what else to say right now, so thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. That's all we can ask for, friend.
Thanks for the call so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Namaste.
And keep listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Still taking your calls here. We have about 10 minutes to go. We want to hear from you at 212-757-5555. Any thoughts you might have about Armand, and any thoughts you might have about how you would like the show to continue, what kind of format you would like to hear, whether it's more guests, fewer guests, more phone calls, fewer phone calls, keep it the same, don't do anything. How you feel the best way we can honor his legacy. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we do want to keep Armand involved in the show forever. And that's why we had a clip of him today. And the last week we had clips of him both days. And we'll have, every time we're on the air, we'll have a clip of Armand giving his perspective on any given topic. So, again, the number to call here is 212-757-5555. You can follow us on Twitter, at Armand DeMille. I'm not really sure about the Twitter account. I felt kind of weird using it, but I think we're going to make it the Twitter account for the show. And WBAI has given us an email address for the show. It's positivemind@wbai.org. And I think there's also a Facebook page, right, Celeste?
Yes, there is. We've been running a Facebook page. It's Positive Mind with Armand DeMille. And we've been trying to keep that going and kind of sharing all our experiences and knowledge and our appreciation for the work that he's done for us throughout the years.
Okay, so check that out on Facebook if you could find it. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of ways that people are connecting online and offline. Just a quick reminder that there will be another series of group meetings here at the DeMille Center. That's 6 p.m. tonight. Or is it
6:30?
6:30 here at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1100. That's on the 11th floor, 57th between 6th and 7th Avenue. Let's take another call. Patricia, you're on the line.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, this is Patricia.
Hi. Could you turn down your radio, please?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Exciting. We're hearing ourselves. It's
Yeah.
Who's that voice?
Yeah. Oh. Hello.
Hi.
Yes. So, oh, boy, you know, I'm just hearing about it because I hadn't been listening for a couple of months because I got a little busy,
sure.
You know. But, you know, I'm so glad you shared your experience, Julia, because I don't want to feel it. You know, I don't want to feel this. And it was so special to me because he always knew what was going on. He could tell me my life, my past, you know. And he shared something about being in the hospital at one point and how scared he was and how he felt people were trying to hurt him or kill him. And I had that experience. And so when he shared it that day, you know, it was so powerful to me because, I don't know, I guess I didn't think he would have felt like that, you know, but...
Yeah, that was first time he was, that was around about a year ago. He was at Mount Sinai.
Yes.
And he had a very scary moment for himself. And we did a program on fear.
Yes.
Patricia, we'd love to see you tonight at the center if you're available to come down at 6:30.
The thing is, I used to live in New York, and I don't live in New York anymore.
Oh,
and,
okay.
So it would be difficult for me to do that, but I just wanted to say, keep his music going, you know, keep his show going. You guys are doing a great job.
Oh, we'll be doing it for you.
Yeah, please, because he really touched my life in so many ways, and I did have an opportunity to meet him when I went for an interview. And he was so loving and caring, and he just knew me. When I walked through the door, he just knew me, and then that bear hug, you know? So thank you so much. And I got to get through this, Julian. You know, you helped me by what you shared.
Yeah, I mean...
But I don't feel it. I you know, the tears are coming, but I don't want to feel it because he was so special to me. He's like family.
In Armand fashion, what would you say to Armand right now? If you could speak to him. Think of sending your voice over the airwaves to him. Maybe he did hear us today.
Armand, I want to thank you for helping so many people in this world. You have helped me, and you have helped so many people from day to day. And on special holidays, when some of us were alone, those special shows you did. We just love you. I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me because you always knew me. But please, know that we love you, and we're going to miss you, and we're going to feel, like Julian says, we're going to feel. I'm feeling out. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you so much for being honest right now. Thank you so much, Patricia.
You're welcome, Julian.
Thank
you. Take care and keep doing the show, doing a great job.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. We have time for maybe one or two more calls, and we are taking your calls at 212-757-5555. Yep, it's another another episode of Remembering the Man, the Myth, the Legend. Larger than life in so many ways. A friend, a teacher to so many. It's still almost unbelievable that he's gone.
Absolutely. You know, one time he had mentioned something on the radio, and it was Feeling Loved. It was aired on, I think, January 2002. And he said, do you know that honey is the only food that never spoils? And he said, yes, honey is the only food that never spoils. And love never spoils honey. Amazing.
He was full of those.
He had
so many amazing sayings and sort of, for lack of a better word, eccentricities. I was telling Celeste and Julian earlier that Armand, one thing that he taught us was when you go somewhere, wherever you're going, always bring something, you know, bring a gift. No matter how small it seems, it's just the feeling behind it. And I brought him a pastry this one time before a show. And he said, what's this, Ben? And I said, it's a pastry. I think you'll like it. And he picked up the bag and he shook the bag. And most people would take it and smell it, but Armand put it to his ear, like he was trying to listen to the pastry. I mean, it was something I'll never forget. John, you're on the line. How you doing today?
Yeah, we've got 30 seconds, but
yeah,
we'd love to hear just
to
a couple
be,
words from you.
Quick note, Armand's been a dear friend just through the radio. I met him once, and it's a real shame for... I listened to him daily the last 15 years, and he's just a dear soul that I feel a loss in my life with his opinion on the radio.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, John, for listening and tuning in for those 15 years. And thank you, everybody, for calling in today. And we'll be on tomorrow at 1 p.m., Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. every week. I would just want to thank all the callers that we didn't get to. Carol, Yvonne, Jane, Robert, Smiley, Rashida, Maria, Hada, Alan, Kliston, Lena, Joe, Michael, Ivan, Pat, Jeffrey, Michael, Gia. I mean, there's so many of you. Thank you so much for listening.
And we'll be back here tonight again. Or again, the address is 119 West 57th Street. Come by at 6:30 p.m. We'll be congregating and gathering to discuss and share and talk.
Yes,
so you're all welcome to come out here.
Yeah, and if you didn't get a chance to talk on air today, if you want to come into that workshop or send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org. Positivemind@wbai.org, and listen to the archives at thepositivemind.com. Thousands of programs of Armand DeMille's there for your listening pleasure. Thank you for tuning in today, and we're going to bring you Last Tango in Paris, one of Armand's favorites.
And we'll be back tomorrow at 1, so tune in.